You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. Today we're going to take a look at Mizmor Yud Tet, which is the Shir Shel Yom of Shavuot, our upcoming holiday. The Mizmor is divided into two parts. The first part describes how the heavens tell of God's greatness. L'menatzech Mizmor de David, Hashemayim misaprim kavod el, u'maasei yadav magid harakia. The skies, the heavens, tell of Hashem's kavod, his greatness, his glory, essentially by telling us of maasei yadav, the works of his hands, meaning glancing up at the heavens and contemplating them necessarily makes us realize the greatness of what Hashem has created, and thereby also telling us of the greatness of Hashem himself. Yom li yom yabia omer, v'layla l'layla yichaveh da'at, day by day, night by night, right, as creation is perpetuated, right, ha'mechadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh b'reshit, this greatness is reiterated, right, but this is done, the next pasuk tells us, silently. Ein omer ve'ein dvarim b'li nishma kolam, meaning the skies don't literally sing the praises of Hashem. There are no words coming out of some mouth up there in heaven. They don't actually talk, as we know, but they express these things. They express the greatness of Hashem just by being there. Right? Their very existence is a testimony to God and His greatness. The Mizmor then continues this idea by zeroing in on the sun. B'chol ha'aretz yatza kavam b'k'tzei tevel milehem. Right? Their silent words are heard throughout the world. And this is done as well by the fact that Lashemesh sam oil bahem. The heavens house the sun. They are like a tent for the sun. The significance of this is explained in the next pasuk. Vehu kechatan yotze mechupato yasis kegibor larutz orach. The sun behaves like a groom, right? A chatan coming out of his chupa, full of life, full of joy, full of energy. Mikzeh hashamayim motzao utkufato al ktotam ve'en nistar mechamato. Right, the path of the sun is from one edge of the sky to the other, and it shines throughout the world. Right, nothing hides from its warmth. The light of the sun touches everything. This is the end of the first half of the Mizmor. The second half begins with a quick change to a seemingly new topic. Torat Hashem tamima meshivat nefesh, edut Hashem ne'emana machkimat peti, pikudei Hashem yisharim mesamchei lev, mitzvat Hashem bara mirat einayim, yirat Hashem Torah omedet la'av, mishpatei Hashem emet tzadku yachtav. Right, this second half of the Mizmor begins with six descriptions of the Torah, right, and it's very carefully structured. Each description follows the same pattern. Right, the Torah, called by a different name in each description, is of a certain quality. Right? And again, each quality mentioned is different in each of the six times. And this is each followed by another quality of the Torah. So, for example, Torah Hashem Tamima, the Torah of Hashem is perfect, whole, Mishivat Nefesh, it restores life. It restores strength. The Edut, the testimony of Hashem is faithful, or truthful might be a better translation. Machkimat peti, it gives wisdom to the unwise, right? The pikudim of Hashem, pikudei Hashem, right, in the next sentence, pikudei Hashem yisharim misamchei lev, right? And in each case, right, it follows the same thing. Pikudei Hashem, the laws of Hashem are straight, yashar. Misamchei lev, they make the heart glad, the heart rejoice. Mitzvat Hashem bara, the mitzvot of Hashem are clear, are bright. They mirat einayim, they illuminate the eyes. Yirat Hashem tehora, the fear of Hashem, right, which is also something that is in the Torah, is pure. Omedet la'ad, right, it is everlasting. And finally, mishpate Hashem emet, the laws of Hashem are truthful. Tzadku yachtav, together as a group, they are all tzedek, they are all correct, they are all righteousness, right? And so we have the same pattern throughout these six descriptions. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, there's one last Pasuk which describes the Torah. Ha-nechemadim mi-zahav u-mi-paz rav, u-mi-tukim mi-dvash v-nofet sufim. That they are nicer than gold. They are more desirable than gold, and sweeter than honey. The connection between the two halves of this mizmor is not clearly spelled out, although obviously there are many different interpretations. The Da'at Mikra commentary sees the connection in the second half of Pasuk Tet, Mitzvat Hashem bara mi'irat einayim. The word bara means clear, bright, right? So the mitzvot of Hashem are clear, they are bright, and they illuminate the eyes. That commentary says, links back to the description of the sun, right, which is also bright, which is also illuminating. As we saw in the first half of the Mizmor, which is described there, right, the sun is described as lighting up the whole world. And thereby, through that action of the sun, right, showing Hashem's greatness to the entire world. And actually, in Shir HaShirim, right, there's a pasuk where the word bara, right, the word that we see here, is actually used to describe the sun. Right, so we see that link has a basis to it. Right, to say that the word that is used to describe mitzvot Hashem in pasuk tet is an apt description of the sun as well. If one actually looks at midrashim on this mizmor and in some commentaries, you see a lot of play with this, not necessarily linking it to the word bara, but that the idea that there's some sort of comparison between the sun and the Torah. One of the more direct applications of this is found in the commentary of the Radak, what he writes is Mashe samach inyan haTorah liinyan haShemesh, Ratzalomar kmo sheHashamayim vaHashemesh vaHagalgalim miidim uMisaprim al kavod haEl vaAl chokhmato, ken haTorah vaHamitzvah asher tzivah laAmo Yisrael miidot al chokhmato vaAl yoshro. Right, just as the sun testifies to the greatness and the wisdom of Hashem, so too the Torah is a testimony to the wisdom and the yashrut of Hashem. And he goes on to elaborate in his commentary, just as the sun is beneficial to the world in so many ways, so too the Torah in similar ways. Later in his commentary, he brings a different idea, right? Which he says that others say, different mefreshim say, and that is that the Mizmor is actually trying to compare the sun to the Torah, but to the benefit of the Torah, right? The sun is great, but the Torah is greater. And then he brings a bunch of examples. The sun can be blinding, but the Torah is illuminating, meaning that there's no negative aspect to the brightness of the Torah. Similarly, the sun can cause one to faint, right? You can get sunstroke. But the Torah, on the other hand, is mishivat nefesh, right? It revives. Right, so that again, the qualities are similar, right? There is a comparison, there is what to compare, but the Torah comes out looking even better than the sun. So if you want to look at the Mizmor as a whole, you could say that, as seen in the first half of the Mizmor, the sun does a great job of showing God's greatness, but the Torah does an even better job. This first way of understanding the Mizmor is that the sun is basically, the sun in the first half of the Mizmor is a metaphor for the Torah, right? Just as the sun illuminates, shines all over the world and shows God's greatness, so too the Torah is illuminating and shows God's greatness. Another possibility is that what we see here is not so much one being a metaphor for the other, right? That the sun is a metaphor for the Torah, but that the two halves of the Mizmor are basically two paths to the same thing. Just as God can be seen in the expanse of the sky and and by following the sun's brightness from east to west, so too God's greatness, not just merely what he wants us to do, the laws, but the actual greatness of Hashem could be found in the Torah. Just as one can see Hashem's greatness by contemplating the universe, right? One can do the same thing by contemplating the Torah. these two paths, so to speak, right, to seeing God's greatness, to finding Hashem, so to speak, can be seen in many places. One example is in the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam. So, for example, in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, at the very beginning of the second chapter of Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam states, Ha'el ha'nichpad v'hanara hazeh mitzvah le'ohavo v'liyira oto sh'ne'emar v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. Right? It's a mitzvah to fear God and to love God, as it says, v'ahavta le'ohecha kamocha v'ne'emar et Hashem Elokecha tira. V'heach haya ha'derech le'ahavato v'yirato. How is one meant to be able to fear and love God? V'sha'ash yitbonen ha'adam b'ma'asav u'bruav ha'niflaim ha'gdolim v'yira mehem chachmato she'en la'erech v'en v'lo kitz. Miad hu ohev u'mishabech u'mufa'er u'mitave ta'ava gdola lida Hashem ha'gadol. Right? If you look out at God's creations, right, you are overcome with a desire to know Hashem. Right? So that knowing Hashem, loving Hashem, fearing Hashem comes from contemplating the works of Hashem's hands, by looking up at the heavens and seeking God there. However, if you look in Hilchot Tshuva, the very end of Hilchot Tshuva, the Rambam there says, and I'll just read the end of a longer section where he expresses this idea. He says, "Davar yadua ubarur she'ein she'ein ahavat haKadosh Baruch Hu nikseret bilibo shel adam ad sheyiskebat yiskebatamid karoi nikseret bilibo shel adam ad sheyiskebatamid." Perhaps I should have started a little bit earlier. This is the end of a larger section where he's talking about being osek b'Torah, right? Studying Torah, contemplating Torah, right? And until one does that properly, until one is mitasek b'Torah to the exclusion of other things, and does it properly, then one is, in other words, until the emphasis is put on that, then one does not properly come to love God and to know God the way that one should. Right. So we see these two paths within the halachot brought by the Rambam. On the one hand, one must contemplate the heavens to find God, to love God. On the other hand, one must contemplate the Torah, b'mitasek b'Torah, in order to reach the exact same goal. Hold on. So this seems, what we see here in the Rambam, going back to our Mizmor, this seems to be the message of the Mizmor as well. Right? We all know people who are more inclined for one or the other, right? Finding God out by staring at the heavens, or finding God by looking in the books of the Torah. And the Mizmor seems to imply that there is a need for both. And that there's both are ways to find God, to seek God. Although there does seem to be a message that certainly the search for God through Torah should not be eclipsed entirely, you know, by the sun, so to speak. I can't help thinking that there is one more message to be found in this Mizmor. The sun is described here as that which declares through its behavior, so to speak, the greatness of God. And this is seen in the way that it obeys God's will with precision and with alacrity, right? The sun is that which gets up every morning, jumping out of bed, excited to start the new day of illuminating the world, of spreading the light of Hashem. So perhaps there's something to a comparison, not only between the sun, who tells of God's greatness, with the Torah, who tells of God's greatness, right, which we saw seems to be the Peshat of the Mizmor, but also between the sun and human beings, right, who are also meant to proclaim the greatness of God. Right, so while the Mizmor certainly seems to be comparing the sun and the job, so to speak, of the sun to that of the Torah, there's something in the behavior of the sun which seems to be something that we are meant to emulate, right? We are also meant to proclaim God's greatness. Right, this brings to mind many different tefillot, perhaps the most obvious being Keladon, which we say on Shabbat morning, which describes the alacrity and the excitement almost with which the heavenly bodies obey God, right, thereby honoring him. And then the message, right, in the next part of the tefillah right after that, is that all of God's creation should praise God. Perhaps there is some sort of hidden message within that as well. If there is something to that hidden interpretation as well, then perhaps that's the connection to the very end of the mizmor, right? Where the speaker in this mizmor for the first time mentions himself. Gam avdecha nizhar bahem b'shomram ekev rav, right? I too, your servant, am careful in keeping the Torah. Shkiot miyavi ministerot nakeni, right? I try very hard to keep them. I'm careful, right? But shkiot miyavi ministerot nakeni, try to wipe clean those hidden mistakes that I have made, right? Because I don't always know when I have done something wrong. Gam mizedim chasoch avdecha alim shelubi azetam viniketi mipesha rav. Right, you know, clear me, please, of my unintended offenses. I try to stay away from doing the wrong thing. I try to stay away from the wrong people who will cause me to do the wrong thing. Right, and the last pasuk, Gihiyu the ratzon imrei pi ve'yon libi lefanecha Hashem tzuri v'goali. My prayer, says the speaker, is that the words of my mouth and the prayers of my heart will be acceptable to you. So here you see the human being, right, as the Eved Hashem, the one who was trying to follow the Torah, which has been described just prior to these psukim. But the difference between the son, the description of the son as the Eved Hashem, so to speak, to the human being as the Eved Hashem is quite obvious, right? Whereas the son always gets it right, so to speak. Every single morning, it has its exact path and knows exactly where it has to go, and never veers from it. Always does what it's supposed to do. Always follows the word of Hashem exactly, and thereby brings honor to Hashem. Right? The human being is different. Right? The human being is human. Right, as opposed to being a heavenly body, a human being is earthly, right? Is earthbound, and therefore it can't do things exactly the same way, exactly correct every single day. It doesn't have that set out path for it as the sun does, which, you know, as seen in many sources, which I'm not going to go into all of them right now, that shows both the weakness of human beings, but also their greatness, right? Human beings might not be perfect, but there is something to be said for the effort of a human being to do the right thing. And that seems to be what we're seeing here at the end of the Mizmor, right? That the human being might not be able to proclaim as loudly and as brightly the greatness of Hashem as maybe the sun can, but that's the difference between being a heavenly body with all of the greatness and the wonderfulness of what they can do, the heavenly bodies, and being a human body, so to speak, right? The job of the human being is perhaps on the one hand to look at the sky, right, and to find God there, but the point of the Mizmor seems to be even more to try to find God in the Torah, right? And that, right, as opposed to something which we do exactly the same way every single day, like the sun, right? Every day succeeding to do the exact same thing and getting to the same point and beginning again at the next day. For human beings, it's a process, right? Where we leave off at the end of a day is the starting part for the next point for the next day, right? It's a process which goes out through all life. We don't start every day doing the same thing again. Each day we start again trying to get closer to the essence of what the Torah we learn is trying to teach us, right? The difference between being the son and being a human being. And, right, the difference between perhaps finding Hashem in the heavens and finding Hashem through the Torah that we learn. And perhaps that's something to take with us to Shavuot, right? The meaning and the process of Torah learning that is so important. Chag Shavuot Sameach v'Shabbat Shalom u'mevarach.